Pat Bradley.
Welcome back in the zone. Justin Acri, Pat Bradley, Matt Atee, joined by a couple of zone favorites. Benny Brainerd, Scott McGee here to talk about a new project, which, again, these guys are like King Midas. Everything they touch lately has turned to gold in the way of delicious food and beverage. So we're all excited about the new project, but forget gay marriage, forget about abortion, forget about politics or anything political. You want to get into controversy? Change things about a nostalgic restaurant. You're going to really get a lot of strong opinions, my friends, and you know all about that. But for those of you who have read a paper lately or been around social media, you realize that an historic place in the Heights is getting, I guess, a tweak. So welcome, first of all, and tell us about the changes that are coming to the old Browning's location.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks
good
for
job.
Having
Dynamite
us.
Dynamite dropping,
great.
Ben.
That's a great introductory
all right.
statement.
Good.
Who wrote that for you?
Yeah, that was all me. That's all me, baby.
Benny the Brain.
No one is more in tune with the nostalgia of Browning's than probably, you know, there's a lot in town. For me, you know, my dad took me there back in the 70s, and, you know, I was raised on the cheese dip. And
I grew up on Hawthorne, right? I mean, literally ate there twice a week, every week.
Yeah, and, you know, the waitresses, which were all these kind of crabby old ladies, and they were just awesome, and that was part of the nostalgia and the feel. I don't know if we can find them still, but hopefully so. But you know, Tex-Mex has been in my blood for many years. My dad, along with Mark, started Juanita's in 1984. I toured around Texas with my father when I was 14, trying to find the best enchiladas and the best cheese dip, and you know, I was raised at Taco Kid and all those great places. Mm-hmm. So our mission at Heights Taco and Tamale is to, and the reason we're doing Tex-Mex there is, how can you change that location into something other than Tex-Mex after 70 years of Browning's, you know, really being the epicenter of Tex-Mex for over 50 years? And so we thought it was the only thing we could do there is bring back really incredible locally owned Tex-Mex to the city of Little Rock.
Is that the first Tex-Mex place?
That would they're right up there. You know, I think Mexico Chiquito was there, and El Chico was there. Mm-hmm. But they opened in 1947.
Yeah,
and so they were the first one, I believe, in Arkansas. Although there's two or three that opened at that time, mm-hmm. and they really just ruled the local Tex-Mex scene up until Juanita's opened in '84. Really. I mean, they were kind of, you know, Browning's was a big part of the scene. Now there's, you know, out-of-state places all over the place. You know, there's a dime a dozen.
So what will be some of the signature things that you want to do? And I know you want to try to stay with what people consider Tex-Mex roots, I'm sure. But
right.
I'm sure you guys will put your own flair in it like you always do. But what are some things that you're going to absolutely try to showcase?
One thing that you don't really get at a lot of national chain Tex-Mex joints is something that our group does very well, which is huge emphasis on the quality of the product, using local farmers, using fruits and vegetables in season when they're at their peak of ripeness. We're going to make our own fresh-made, made-to-order flour tortillas for all of our dishes. We're going to hand-make tamales. They'll be more of a Delta-style tamale rather than the big giant Latin ones wrapped in banana leaves.
Mm-hmm.
These will be more like, you know, something I just love those good Arkansas tamales that mm-hmm. you buy out of the back of a pickup truck.
Yeah.
So we want to take that as inspiration, but do something even better.
We've been experimenting with tamales at Local Lime for the last 4 or 5 months, and really have gotten pretty.
And margaritas.
margaritas, we are experts.
Well,
at.
You guys have been playing, yeah, because I remember the process going into Local Lime. I know you guys played with a lot of different things, both food and beverage, trying to get everything just right.
Absolutely, it's you know, being in the kitchen with Ben and this huge palette of ingredients and just being able to create is really the greatest time of my life, and I love that whole process. And we're about to start that up at HT&T. We're going to have access to that kitchen as of July 1st, and nothing is more exciting and fun than that process.
Well,
we're lucky in the sense that we. Scott and John and I specifically really enjoy being in the kitchen still, and a lot of our food, a lot of what we've produced reflects that. I think that we still have fun and we still find solace going back there, getting our hands dirty, and maybe I think that's a part of the draw that we've had and the success that we've had is that truly we are food driven, we are ingredient driven restaurants.
Local Lime has been a huge success. I like to call it Local Line lovingly because you a lot of times will have to wait. It's always worth it, but. But it is not Tex-Mex.
See, guys, I make everybody, including Justin Acri, wait. You
See,
heard it here first.
There you go. But people have to realize, I mean, it's not Tex-Mex.
It's authentic Mex, maybe mixed with a little Cali Mex.
Yep.
But, yeah.
But it's not what you – I mean, again, it's not based on all around the cheese dip like a lot of places are. This is more traditional, what most of the Arkansans I know are used to getting, at least the same kind of concept at least.
Tex-Mex and authentic Mex are two completely separate. I mean, they're from the same roots.
It's like Cajun and Creole.
Yeah, well, no, it's I would say it's more like what's a better example? It's like maybe Italian style pizza and American style pizza.
Okay.
You know, maybe
there you go.
You know, it's kind of two different animals. I mean, the pizza we do at Zaza is super thin crust. It's baked in 3 minutes. It's got a crispy char on the edge, and we're an American style pizza baked slowly for 30 minutes, and it's kind of a different animal.
Mm-hmm.
Both are good for different reasons.
Don't think that we will not spend tireless hours testing out cheese dips.
Yeah, we want to get
I assure you of this.
Cheese dip is everything.
Yeah, you have to serve perfect cheese dip.
There are gallons of cheese dip that have been eaten by Buzz employees. I'm sure that we would be happy to help in that process, at least from a tasting standpoint. Speaking of a guy that's eaten more than his share of cheese dip and also knows his way around nostalgic Little Rock restaurants, Dr. Smith.
Let me tell you something, gentlemen.
Here we go.
I say welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. I ate my first dinner at Browning's following an Arkansas to Oklahoma State game in 1968. I proposed to two different women there. One of them actually worked out.
That's right.
And all I can ask
you're batting 500.
Both women said yes.
Is go get the waitresses you used to have and guarantee me you're bringing the saltillo plate back.
The saltillo plate will be there.
What is that? I don't even know what that is.
In some form or fashion.
In some form or fashion.
Tommy, I'm going to brag for 2 seconds. Of course, I never do that. But we have the original recipe for the Browning's cheese dip. The Browning's hot sauce, which as you know, went away several years ago when they redid Browning's, and so that's for me. That's as someone who was really raised there with my dad. That's really exciting. Also, have the recipe for the original Taco Kid cheese dip and the original Juanita's cheese dip, and of course the cheese dip we created at Local Lime. So I'm going to take inspiration from all of those amazing cheese dips from Arkansas history, and we're going to develop something unique that you've never had. Personally, I'm kind of a proponent of still offering the old school Browning's cheese dip occasionally, if not every day. That's something I haven't quite worked out with my partners yet, though.
Well, I'll be there, and I say, once again, welcome back. It was
we'd love to have
you. Mic up there. That's how long ago that was. So I say welcome back to the planet, guys.
Thanks, Tommy.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
What is the timeline, gentlemen, on the new location?
We take over the space July 1st. There's going to be some pretty substantial developments. Browning's had a pretty good overhaul in 2 years ago. And they did a lot of really, really good things, some of which we're going to utilize. But
all the bones are amazing. Exactly. All the plumbing and electrical was redone. The ceilings were raised. The kitchen is totally new and state of the art.
Cool.
But our branding and marketing person wants to kind of hip it up a little bit and make it a little more fun. Maybe even add a little more outdoor seating somehow.
Oh, please do. That's the one thing
we really want.
I'm begging somebody, please. Yeah. To get something out there on the patio. I don't know. How would you do that?
I think you have to go indoors to make it outdoors. I think you got to open up the indoors and take it back into the restaurant. I'm not sure if that's in the cards or not. It kind of depends on budget a little bit.
Amber Brewer designs all of our restaurants.
She's the best.
She is the absolute most
talented
person.
She's a goddess.
We know. And truly, Scotty and I can go back in the kitchen and let her go, not get in her way, and things really work out well.
And all you got to do is walk in Big Orange Midtown and take a look around. I mean, she's magnificent.
I want to ask you about, I know you have another project that you're working on, and maybe we could talk about it after the break. I want to ask about, you got Big Orange, which has been a great success in both locations, Local Lime, now this,
Zaza.
Yeah. What about breakfast?
Well, I developed, opened, and operated Boulevard Bread Company for 10 years. And, man, I got up at the crack of dawn every day. I had bakers calling me at 3 a.m., telling me the mixer went down. So I kind of got my fill of that for a long time until I sold Boulevard.
But you're so good, and maybe we could do another concept because we would like to have somewhere to go and eat breakfast.
I totally agree, and there's a big need for that in Little Rock. There's a few places doing it well. I go to The Root occasionally. They do a good job. I love the Sundell family down there. But
so you're saying there's a chance?
There's a chance. And
more like one in a million.
We actually opened Big Orange West with brunch on Saturday and Sunday, and it turned out that people wanted burgers at 10 a.m., and there was a line out the door. So brunch is a function of needing that business. So it kind of evolved away from Big Orange because, man, we couldn't supply enough burgers at 10 a.m.
I want to talk to you about another concept and project I know you're excited about. Let me get Bill in here quickly. We'll take a timeout. Hey, Bill.
Hey, guys. Got a question. Are you in the spirit of Taco Kid, you guys going to bring back Wednesday 39-cent tacos?
Well, inflation does.
$49
39 cent in 1973 with inflation. Yes,
yes.
That's three. That's called $3.50.
$2.39 tacos.
All right, thank you.
Our rent is substantially higher, Bill.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of great stories about Taco Kid.
First Tuesday of every month at Local Lime, we do half that menu.
Okay.
And it's very, very popular.
That's cool. All right, more with Scott McGee, Ben Brainerd coming up. It's 11:40.